What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey everyone, first question comes our way via text. Hey horror freaks, this is Rachel from Oregon. So, I love the classics and blockbuster horror films, but I really love weird and even strongly disliked films by the masses, aka cult classics. Two of my favorites are A Cure for Wellness and Neon Demon. What are the films that you like that would be in that cult classic category? Thanks, love the podcast, keep up the good work. I totally have an answer for this, and I'm in no way buying time. Megan, what do you think?
I like weird stuff that most people don't. I mean, Bo is Afraid is probably one that I saw. Mm. It's 3 hours. Yeah. It's not fully horror. It's definitely more comedy, dramedy, with some definite flirtation with horror. But I saw that. I'm like, general audiences are going to be... not know what to do with this. Or Ben Wheatley's movies, you know, like A Field in England, that type of stuff, In the Earth, the weird kind of psychedelic folk horror stuff that is, yeah. I guess that stuff that's really hard to like classify. I like it. So yeah.
A bag that's dancing around in the breeze, that's the most beautiful thing that anyone's ever seen.
Okay, American Beauty.
That's a movie that aged well.
Totally.
How about you, Xena? Name another movie that aged well.
Well, okay. I kind of got a little bit confused by this question. You know, I just kept on focusing on like classic blockbuster, but then I was panicking like, wait, what? I don't know. But okay. I'm just going to go stick then with weird, you know,
yeah,
types of movies. So immediately what came to mind, there's this Japanese movie called Tag. It is insane.
Oh.
Yeah, like... the wind kills people. There's pig people. There's drone shots that scare you.
Sansono, yeah, and then also definitely any of his movies.
Yeah, because like I remember when the movie first came out, especially when it came here to the U.S. and I just saw that first clip where those girls are on the school bus, and I'm like, "Whoa, this is gonna be great!" And then that movie from that scene completely, it just becomes a whole new movie.
It is movie at the end. No, yeah, agreed.
Yeah, you're in for a ride with that one. And then I do have like a couple. Rubber comes to mind because
that would fit.
Wait,
yes.
Wait. No, we got a real hard stop.
No.
You're calling out Rubber as a movie that you like?
Yeah.
She said it before.
I feel like it's a movie that's infuriated you.
It did, but I still like it. Like, you want to fight about it? I do. I have a couple of movies like that where it's
absolutely
just like, it makes me upset. Like Cabin Fever and, you know, what
Eden
is
Lake.
What pancakes. Yeah. Eden Lake. Oh, my God. Speak No Evil. I was ready to fight everybody, you know, so... But it doesn't mean that I hate it. So, but...
Oh, see, I totally interpreted... that you that you hadn't grown to love it, that your first take had planted deep-seated emotions about it?
It's kind of how I feel about the Slumber Party Massacre, like the first one. I have a hate-love relationship with it, you know? But you can't deny that it's just, it's weird. You know, I haven't seen anything like it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then also Calvert, I spoke about this like a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Just watch it and you'll know what I mean. And I have to throw in there Death Spa because...
I was just watching Death Spa.
Yeah, it's... The thing that frazzles me though, just real quick,
is that, just one thing in that movie?
Yeah, I can tolerate a lot. But there's just one thing that's just kind of like, I love it. I do. But okay, this is kind of like a spoiler. So yeah, when we find out the ending and who it is, who it's coming from, mm-hmm. right? And it's just like, girl, you did all that. Why didn't you, since you have the power of possession, why are you possessing objects? Why don't you possess his new girlfriend and then you can get revenge? She's like going in machines and, okay, but anyway, that's
she's
a rabbit
just
hole.
She's just extra.
She was too, because she's just salty. Like, it's a good time. It really is. And what I think is really cool, too, I remember when I first checked it out around that time, this was like late 2000s. Mm-hmm. Around where I lived, I couldn't really find anybody that enjoyed the movie. So, back on track.
Would it have changed if the name carried over from its European title and it was just released as Witch Bitch here? Would that have been a little bit different?
I think that people would have loved it. But now I'm meeting so many people who like really love this movie now.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a good answer for this because I love 80s grindhouse horror cheese, you know, like Doom Asylum and Mutilator and Pieces and Graduation Day and all these movies that I think can only be considered cult classic. Like, I don't know if they are a cult classic or if they're just a quote unquote bad 80s horror movie that I really love because they're kind of taking themselves seriously, but well, not in the case of Doom Asylum, but not really taking themselves seriously. The only thing I could think of would be like Dark Castle movies. I think a lot of Dark Castle movies don't get very good, you know, like Death Ship or not Death Ship.
Ghost Ship.
Thank you. Death Ship is a very different movie. like Ghost Ship or even like House on a Haunted Hill and House of Wax. I feel like a lot of them don't critically get great reviews, but they're really fun to watch. Like, they're just good fan. I don't even know if there'd be fan service. They're just fun horror movies. So there's, you're not really an answer. So let's just move right on. And our second one came in via email. Hi guys, John from Oklahoma. My question is for John and Megan, but Xena won't be left out. What horror movie would you put Xena in if you could see her reactions? I personally would love to see her in something like Quiet Place or Don't Breathe.
Intense.
Think The Hunt would be another fun one. Nothing personal. Xena, you're amazing. You do react in some crazy unforeseen ways, though. Love the show and stay soiled, Xena. got a new t-shirt right there.
Stay soiled.
Yep. I thought hard about this one. I thought about this one a lot more than I thought about the first one, that's for sure. And my go-to answer was almost immediately, nobody gets out alive.
Oh, wow.
Or no one gets out alive. But I got worried because I know that Xena's go-to in a horror movie is to fall down and die.
Pretty much.
And I like the idea of trapping her in a scenario where she couldn't run away, but I also don't just want her to fall down and die.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but then I thought it's got to be something fashion related. We got to get her involved a little. I want to see her in fabric. In fabric.
Okay, you know.
Because it's twisted and weird, but you get a nice dress.
All right, I'll take it. At least I'll die looking pretty, so.
There you go. That's all that matters. And you're going to see some weird stuff going on after hours in that shop. How about you, Megan?
I had had similar thoughts as far as, you know, Xena's our fashionista. We don't want her to just drop on the floor in fetal position right away. Also, she's my horror sister. So I was thinking, like, how can I have her have fun? Or how can I have fun watching her have fun? I just was thinking, like, Megan, what would Xena do with Megan? What would she do? What would she do? I mean, obviously, I thought Night of the Demons because that was so formative for her. But that's too easy because she she would just pull a Roger. So what if Night of the Demons 2? What if Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2? I feel like Xena versus Mary Lou would be that'd be pretty fun, I think. I don't know. How do you think?
I think I would still die, you know, but okay, maybe I can still look pretty, so I'm okay with it. And I would love to be in the movie Megan. We could just dance. I mean, sure, get rid of all the people. I only have like 4 friends, so
I was literally thinking dance numbers,
yeah,
slumber party massacre too. You might die, but you would totally have a fun pillow fight before you get there.
So. And I would uninvite Maria, by the way. she can't come.
There you
but
go.
Yeah, I mean, this question really made me laugh, but I don't think I would survive A Quiet Place or Don't Breathe because you guys know I get stressed. So it's just, and then on top of that, when we do record, I'm always eating snacks. So can you imagine me trying to be quiet? So I wouldn't
All
survive.
You would go is in that shop and you would see all the chips that are left. And
That's
you'd be
what
like,
I mean.
You were Zeta didn't make chips? The opening credits. She's just the rapper floating in the background.
Pretty much. Or even with the movie The Hunt, like, no, I wouldn't survive. I'd probably end up being just like Yoga Pants Emma Roberts, like, where I'm gone so fast. And I'm fine with that. My heart can't take it. I would have never made it anyway.
Oh,
yeah.
I believe in you.
On the cusp of the writer's strike, I'm not saying we're scabs or anything. We support the writers. But at the same time, Hollywood, if you need some ideas... We got a lot of ideas all involving Xena right there.
Gosh, I don't know if I'm that entertaining. Like, it's just, oh, yeah, let's go party at this haunted house. I'll be there. And then I won't show up. Oh, my car broke down. You know, I fell asleep. So,
oopsie. Yeah.
Speaking about bad excuses that keep us out of social engagements, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast. Everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hey.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infant love for the genre, Xena Dixon. Hey, Xena.
Hello.
And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So, Xena, what's been filling your heart this week?
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. So
it's been a while.
Yeah, I watched the gory horror comedy Botched from 2007 on Apple TV. So this one is basically about this professional thief whose luck just ran out. And his name is Richie. And he's the only survivor from a heist that's gone terribly, terribly wrong. So just think if anything, like everything wrong was just going wrong, you know? So he's forced to take the rap. And then he's sent to Russia to steal like this priceless antique cross that just so happens to be locked on the penthouse floor in a Moscow-like skyscraper. So, yeah, the kills are so much fun in this one. This movie to me is hilarious. Either you'll love it or you'll hate it. And I think I remember seeing this movie when it came out, and this may be the reason why I don't like elevators. So, yeah, I'll leave it at that. But yeah, if you because I made a list for Bloody Disgusting's TikTok. Follow us, by the way. They're basically about, you know, 10 apartment themed horror movies to prepare you for Evil Dead Rise. And this was one of them that made the list. And so this one takes place in a really cool, like, high rise. The setting's cool. There's booby traps all over. This one, just to keep it simple, it's bloody. There's traps. There's bodies on hooks. There's human sacrifice. There's flaming rats. Someone's head explodes. Like,
flaming rats.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time. So, but if you like the horror comedies like Black Sheep or Severance, I think that you'll enjoy this one.
Nice.
Yeah. Then I checked out Midnight Offerings from 1981. It's a made-for-TV movie. I watched it on DVD, but it is for free right now on YouTube. So this was a blind buy for me. It's basically about a good teenage witch who fights a bad teenage witch.
That sounds...
And there's some...
Your movie. That's your movie.
Right? That's literally why I bought it. You know, it's a made-for-TV movie and there's witches, you know? So yeah, this is so-called mean girl named Vivian, and she has magic powers, and she rules the school, she rules the town, she rules her boyfriend. But then her boyfriend, David, he's like, I'm sick of you. And it's like, how? When she was just like keeping him safe and keeping him on the football team, even though he's terrible, because whenever like he was failing a class, she would just kill the teachers. So even though she was doing that, she seemed pretty cool to me and like a loyal girlfriend. But then, you know, David's sick of her. And then he meets this new girl named Robin. And Robin just so happens to have magic powers too. And instead of these girls becoming friends and teaming up against David because he's boring and he's a flip-flopper, they go against each other. And it's just like, why? Like, clearly they clash violently. And, you know, I know Vivian, like I said, she's supposed to be the mean girl, but I kind of liked her. I thought she was a good time. And she had, yeah, she had fabulous, like, feathery hair. Like, how does she do that? But anyway, if you, pretty, probably, you know, everybody in this movie has magic. Everyone except me.
David.
So, and David, you know, I'm so sick of him. But yeah, if you like witchy women, you should check out this movie.
Awesome.
Nice. How about you, Megan?
Sometimes you just gotta watch a movie based on a title and an image. So I rented Frostbiter, Wrath of the Wendigo. This was released in 95 by Trauma Entertainment. You know, they released Death by Temptation. So this was like acquisition, not something they made. It was actually made in 1988 in Michigan. I'm saying that because it is very Evil Dead-ish inspired. So this one is, and I'm going to read you the IMDb synopsis because it cracks me up. A duo of gun-happy redneck hunters stupidly break a sacred circle in a hunting spree, which releases the deadly Wendigo. The Wendigo kills many of the hunters gruesomely. It says many, but there's two. And that's not what happens. Leaving the chosen woman and a gun-toting idiot to destroy the deadly beast. That part is accurate. There is a sacred circle. It gets broken. And the Wendigo in this movie, this movie is, I'm not going to say it's good, but it is very entertaining. It's on par with stuff like Demon Wind or Spookies as far as low budget cheese, very entertaining processed cheese. But it makes not a whole lot of sense plot wise. You know, a circle's broken, the Wendigo is summoned, but it's not your typical Wendigo. It's not like cannibalism in the snow. It's an evil spirit who has henchmen in the form of other demons. So there's a chili demon, and anytime this demon comes on from the chili pot, there is a chili song. There is some kind of hag witchy woman thing. There's a variety. And then there's like this whole stop motion animated sequence that's pretty epic for this low budget feature. So what I'm saying is, if you need some chili cheese with your horror, this is probably real good for you. Real good. It is silly fun, and if you like Spookies and Demon Wind, so good times. And polar opposite ends of quality and horror style there. I also watched Wicker Man. This is available at a few places. I watched it on Shudder. It turns 50 this year, but
yeah, the original Wicker
Man. The original 1973 Wicker Man. Yeah, turns 50 technically at the end of the year, but I watched it because today as a recording is May Day, which is where the movie is set. It takes place on May Day and around May Day and May Day festivities and, you know, trying to make sacrifices for the oncoming harvest. So yeah, it has a police sergeant, Howie. He arrives on this remote Scottish island called Summer Isle. He's a devout Christian. That's important because he's there because he received an anonymous letter that a girl has gone missing, a girl named Rowan. And so he's there to find out what happened, even though the locals are like, she's not around. She doesn't exist anymore. Anyways, so yeah, it's basically not a horror movie for a long part of it, except this guy investigating and realizing that these people are pagans. You know, they're just having sex out in the fields, all gathered around together, or, you know, they're teaching their children in the schoolrooms about phallic maypoles and whatnot. And then, you know, surprise, there is a horror ending that has solidified its ranks as a folk horror classic. It's one of the three foundational folk horror movies. So yeah, it's great. Christopher Lee is great. It's really interesting. I think it's, if you like Midsummer, then you need to watch Wicker Man. So, yeah.
Nice. As I mentioned or teased last week, I guess, during our Scream 6 deep dive, I watched 2023's Evil Dead Rise in the theater.
A twisted tale of two estranged sisters whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, thrusting them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable.
I don't know where to start. I feel like it's almost a tough movie for me to talk about. When a few episodes back, when Megan had mentioned watching it and calling it or seeing the 3.5 out of 5, and go read a review too. I get it. I get all that. Like I remember watching it and pretty quickly, probably within the first 30 minutes, I was like, okay, like I see, like it's not what the Evil Dead was. And it's not what like the original trilogy was. Out of the five, not counting Ash versus the Evil Dead as its own thing, I would rank this probably like fourth out of my favorites. Army of Darkness is still number five for me just because it's such a tonal shift. Like it's fun, but it's just not in the same vein for me. The use of the demons, mm-hmm. I loved. Like the creature effects, the actual gross out, like what the demon was and how it acted and the horrible things that happened with it, and just staying so true to the mockery aspect mm-hmm. of what the demons and the deadites are. I really love that. I didn't care so much about the setting. Like I guess the setting itself, like it's demons in a high rise. Well, it's in an apartment building on like the sixth floor.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, I was thinking it was going to be like
Demons too.
Exactly. Yeah. It was going to be like on the 40th floor. They're going to be fighting their ways down, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's just in an urban setting in
the cabin is a single building. Apartment.
Exactly. Yes. So, yeah. So, which I hope doesn't ruin anything for anyone who didn't see it, but I want you to go in with that understanding that this is still all it is really is a apartment instead of a cabin. That's basically just juxtaposing the two. There isn't any necessarily more added to the story except for the process by which the Necronomicon comes into possession. And you know, just another excuse to not let your kid be a DJ, I suppose. if you have apologies to any DJs out there listening, but if you've seen the movie, now you know. Don't do that. Yeah, I liked it. It was a fun watch. I'm glad I saw it. I think it's good within the series. But it was good for me. It wasn't like it's not like I left and I was like, I need to rewatch this. Maybe part of it was just how I felt about the chemistry between the characters themselves, or I don't want to say the contrivance of why they're all together. Like it's the wrong word, but like the vehicle by which they're all together in this place at this time and this is happening is kind of like, oh, okay. Like it was almost, doesn't matter. Go watch it for yourself. The point is I liked it. I visually, it's still very strong as a visual presentation. Like it's a great looking horror movie and it's got great demon and creature effects. It's the story that's kind of like, oh, okay, that was the vehicle to get us the demon effects. Like, okay, here's the story. Here's how it happened. So yeah, I definitely want to give it another watch too, because I am the guy who fully admits that I watched The Evil Dead and like with my arms crossed, like, this isn't the original. What are they doing? So I might rewatch it and be like, okay, like maybe I was a little hard on it. Maybe I had too much tequila beforehand at the Mexican place across the street. That's not true.
Or maybe you didn't have enough. I don't know.
Maybe I didn't have enough. That's the problem. I needed more tequila.
Yeah. Cinco de Mayo soon. So there you go.
That's true. I could go right back. So yeah, I liked it. I'm glad that it exists. I'm looking forward to it again. I don't think that it's, I wasn't upset by what it is. I definitely say three and a half, four totally makes sense to me out of five. It just isn't my favorite of the series. And maybe someone out there, it is their instant favorite. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool. Works for me.
Do you think that we should do like a deep dive? I think that could be fun.
A deep dive on Evil Dead Rise or on the series? I guess the series is too much.
Well, yeah, that would be a lot. I mean, we could break it up, but I think maybe just on Evil Dead Rise, that could be a good time.
I'd be interested to talk more about it, how it exists within the realm of canon, if it even exists within the realm of canon.
Yes.
Because it's almost a reboot.
It's not a reboot. It exists within the canon because he went off of the Army of Darkness 3 books, which is why I feel like we should do a deep dive on it, because I have thoughts on that.
See, I didn't even pick up on that.
But see, that's why it's like, if you're being like a hardcore stickler, which we're horror fans, so we can be, they were not 3 books. A couple of them were dummies. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. One of them just bit Ash's hand and the other sucked him into a void.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going off of like, there were 3 volumes and this is a volume. Or just that scene is what triggered him to insist that there are multiple volumes of the Book of the Dead. So that's why this is not the original book. This is another book. So yeah, but there's a lot of things. I saw it again last week. So I have lots of thoughts. I have more thoughts that we could save for a spoiler episode. Okay. Not this one.
We might have to drop that poll out on social media if you guys want us to do a deep dive on Evil Dead Rise. Because now that Megan said all that, I kind of feel like I need one. Maybe we'll just talk a lot after we stop recording.
There you go.
So I can get some closure.
There you go.
And I went back for some more nostalgia in its own right. I didn't watch a whole lot of horror last week. I watched a whole lot of episodes of Columbo, but I did pull out my DVDs and watch season 6 of Tales from the Crypt, which I'm not doing movie guy voice or anything like that. I just watched season 6 of Tales from the Crypt. It's Tales from the Crypt.
Do a Crypt Keeper voice.
Oh, do God, the giggle. I can't do that.
Can you do the giggle? I can't even do it.
I don't want to. Because I'm afraid that in my head, I'm like, I think I could pull that off. And then the noise that comes out is not going to be that. And then it's just another bad impression that John does.
Oh, we love it.
We do.
But I watched in particular, the ones that I watched were Comes the Dawn, which is I'm not even going to say spoilers. It just is what it is. It's 94 when this came out. Like, it's fine. Which is a vampire tale. Very pre-30 Days of Night type scenario, which might have even actually inspired the creation of 30 Days a Night, strangely enough. 99 4/100% pure horror, the longest title of any horror short ever, about spooky soap, we'll say. And then You Murderer. And the reason I want to talk about this is actually because of You Murderer, because this was the first, as we've gone over, if you're a new listener, Xena and Megan are the lifelong horror nerds who saw horror, scary horror, way too young by quote-unquote standards. I'm the guy who started to discover horror in like high school and then it steamrolled like in college and after college. But You Murderer, for those of you who don't recognize the title but remember watch Tales from the Crypt, it's the Humphrey Bogart episode of Tales from the Crypt. And this is important to me because this is the first time I really remember starting to get into Tales from the Crypt in the first place. Mm-hmm. I would love to say I was an early adopter. I just wasn't.
That's okay. You're here now.
Yeah, you're here
I
now.
I am. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
It took me a while to find the path, but I'm on
you're
it.
On
that's
it.
All that matters.
You're where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. And You Murder, the reason it was a big deal is because it was really ahead of its time as in in terms of the technology for twofold. One, the main character is Humphrey Bogart. It's Humphrey Bogart footage, photoshopped, I guess, for lack of a better word, on top of an actor's body.
Composited.
So like the words and yeah, exactly. On top. So like when there's a delivery, like they'll show him in the mirror and it'll be Humphrey Bogart saying a line from Casablanca or Maltese Falcon or whatever movie. And then it'll cut away and it'll be all first person POV. And then it'll be his voice and they kind of talk about why he looks like Humphrey Bogart and all this stuff. But also the idea of because he looks in the mirror so many times, you never see the camera, which was a huge deal that they had to figure out how to be super creative, that you have this direct view into a mirror and you don't see a camera. And I just remember how much they were, because I think it might have even been Robert Zemeckis who directed this one, and John Lithgow was in it. And just how big of a deal they were making. This technology is cutting edge. And like you go back and watch it and you're like, that's where we were. That's how it started. You know what? I'll still take it over de-aging technology personally, but it's a little bit funny to go back and very strongly remember how excited people were for like, look what we can do. And now you watch it and you're like, I can do that on my laptop too right now. But obviously it's time, it's technology, whatever. But I just remember very strongly they had like a whole making of talking about this, and like there was all this press behind it, and then just going back and being like, okay, it's a Tales from the Crypt episode with John Lithgow, I'll watch it. But it's just, they're just all classics. Even Comes the Dawn, which feels like a movie condensed into 22 minutes.
Oh, wow.
To the point where it's like you are rushing through stuff. I feel like you could have dragged this out. I have no idea how you jumped as fast as you did. And I love Michael Ironside. I could watch more of him, but yeah. So Tales from the Crypt season 6.
Good show.
Go find that somewhere. Someone stream it. Come on. I know the rights are terrible and everything. Can you guys just shake hands and release it for people? Come on.
For real.
Stop being mean. All right. Before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
I checked out Botched on Apple TV and Midnight Offerings on DVD, but it's currently free on YouTube right now.
I watched Frostbiter, Wrath of the Wendigo on VOD. I rented that on Prime Video. And The Wicker Man, which is available at a variety of places, including Shudder.
1973 is The Wicker Man. But go watch Nick Cage, too. The Bees.
Oh, yes. No, yes, The Bees. Sorry.
And I watched 2023's Evil Dead Rise in the theaters and season 6 of Tales from the Crypt on DVD. All right. Do y'all have homework for me? Because clearly I cannot be trusted to not just watch old like 80s TV shows.
Yeah,
on
I mean,
my
if you're having
board.
Fun.
I am. I'm having a great time. But I need help because I'm going to go right back to them otherwise. Megan, you got one for me?
Yeah, it's sometimes you just spoon feed me homework assignments for you. Regurgitating what you mentioned not having seen yet that I'm surprised by. So Southbound is on Tubi.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That was the one that I hadn't even heard of. Okay.
Southbound?
I feel like there was an... What?
What do you mean you haven't heard of?
Yeah. Remember when we're talking about our favorite anthologies?
Oh, okay.
And you guys mentioned Southbound. I'm like, I'm not even sure what that is.
Okay, yeah.
And that was followed by the collective gasp.
And I'm redoing it. I remembered you haven't seen it, but I couldn't remember the why.
Yeah. It was that gasp of... It is, exactly. Zena.
Okay, have you seen Inside on Shudder? It's a French movie. It's bloody and it's fun.
Nope, haven't seen it.
Okay, yeah.
Nice. Shudder. One for one on that one. Inside, which you said is on Shudder?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, the scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, the Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
A lot. CinemaCon took place last week. For those that don't know what CinemaCon is, it's an annual convention in Vegas. It's meant for, you know, theater exhibitionists and people working in the movie theater industry, programmers and the like. They basically go and studios run down their upcoming slate. You know, that includes, you know, title reveals, footage, trailer debuts, some sneak peeks. A lot of this stuff doesn't make it online because it's for theater exhibitionists, people who are going to be programming and booking these movies and stuff. So a lot of times you're just getting descriptions of footage and title reveals. Not a whole lot of it makes its way online. So, for example, we learned last week that the upcoming Exorcist movie from David Gordon Green will be titled Exorcist Believer. There are descriptions of the footage shown there. The next Conjuring movie is going to be titled The Conjuring Last Rites, for example. We also learned that Ben Wheatley's upcoming sequel to The Meg, titled Meg 2 The Trench, will lean into the prehistoric terror the 2018 film didn't quite do. The Wrap recapped footage shown there, and I'm just going to read exactly what the Wrap reported. The trailer opens with two landbound prehistoric monsters eating a large bug, with on-screen text warning that for 65 million years, one species ruled the world. The T-Rex? No. The Meg. And it eats a T-Rex. Jason Statham is recruited again by Cliff Curtis to hunt another giant creature in the trench. But then, deep underwater, the team starts getting picked off by the biggest Meg anyone has ever seen. We then get various monsters attacking by land and by sea, with Statham almost getting eaten by a shark. We get more scenes of tourists almost getting eaten, a tentacled creature eating a helicopter. And the teaser ends with Statham leaping into the air on a jet ski to face off against a shark with a sword.
Whoa!
If this
doesn't... Oh, going very Sharknado, switching out the chainsaw.
Yeah, we are going ham. And this is Ben Wheatley, who has directed Kill List, but also, you know, Free Fire, which is a wild shoot 'em up. So they're really leaning into the prehistoric...
He did Free Fire, too?
Yeah.
Boy, is that a 180?
He's got range, and this sounds like it might be his most insane yet. So Meg 2 will be swimming into theaters on August 4th. Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time to wait for that one, but multiple Megalodon sharks. I'm sold. I don't even care that Jason Statham is riding around on jet skis with swords. I mean, I do care. I do care. I'm just playing it cool and failing miserably.
Meg loves Megs.
Megs, yes. I do love me some Megalodon sharks, so love it. Love it. I just hope that, you know, he eats people. I feel like this shark was starving last movie, so as long as the shark gets to eat this movie, I'll be happy. Some news. Best-selling horror author Grady Hendrix's latest novel just released in January. It's How to Sell a Haunted House, and an adaptation is already in the works. Legendary. Awesome. Yeah. Legendary Entertainment won movie rights and enlisted Coming Home in the Dark filmmaker James Ashcroft to helm the adaptation. I feel like, Xena, you talked highly of that one, didn't you? Coming Home in the Dark, which is super bleak.
I did. It is. It's so bleak, but it's beautiful.
And
shot.
On Netflix. Like, you know, yes. Yeah. On Netflix. Super dark. Grady Hendrix's stuff is not quite that dark, but I'm super curious to see what he does with that. If that's not intriguing enough, though, it is being produced by Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert's Ghost House Pictures. They're going to produce the film with Hendrix, who's going to be adapting his own novel for the screen. So this guy, it's not enough to have a best-selling book. He's also going to be screenwriting his own novel. So that's cool. And if you aren't familiar with this one, the plot follows a single mom, Louise. She's forced to go home after the death of her parents to, you know, send them off and tidy up their affairs. That would be stressful enough for anyone, but her estranged brother Mark complicates matters. And then if that's not enough, there's something about their parents' home that does not want to be sold. I have read this book. It is definitely Grady Hendrix's, you know, charming blend of horror and heart. And I'm very, this is not a spoiler because you learn this right away, but Louise and Mark's mom had a puppet problem. She loved puppets. So I am super curious.
Problem is putting it really mildly.
Yes, yes, mild. But Pupkin is a pretty scary puppet. Mm. That's mom's favorite. So I'm very curious to see how that translates to screen.
So I know you have a hard time believing something like this, but I started this book and I have not finished it.
Well,
I'm like a quarter of the way through.
I feel like you got a little bit of time before the adaptation comes out, so you might want to get on it. I don't know. You got like a whole bunch of Hendrix books where that's the case.
Oh, yeah. I'm halfway through like all of them. I think the only one I've actually finished is Horror Story.
There you go. Well, yeah. I believe in you.
Thanks.
And then, you know, we haven't had Halloween yet, but I'm already excited for a holiday horror movie coming soon. This one's from writer Michael Kennedy, who wrote Freaky, and director Tyler McIntyre, who directed Tragedy Girls. The movie is called It's a Wonderful Knife. Don't you get it? I like the wordplay. It's an upcoming Christmas slasher. It's a Wonderful Knife stars Jane Widdup, who's in Yellow Jackets. She is the lead Winnie Carruthers, with Joel McHale set to play Winnie's father, and Justin Long playing the town's patron, Mr. Waters. The town is set in idyllic Angel Falls, a year after saving her town from a psychotic killer on Christmas Eve. Winnie's life is less than wonderful, but when she wishes she'd never been born, she finds herself in a nightmare parallel universe and discovers that without her, things could be much, much worse. Now the killer is back. She must team up with the town misfit to identify the killer and get back to her own reality. It definitely sounds like from the mind of Freaky. So yeah, I'm excited.
All right, listeners, your turn. How many megalodons is too many megalodons?
There is no limit. The limit does not exist.
What percentage of my bookshelf do you think is only half read? It's a lot. You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
We already have so many awesome movies coming our way. So already on Shudder right now, you can check out Martyrs, Inside, High Tension, and Livid. Like, today. Right now.
Today.
Yeah. And then, going to Tuesday, so by the time this comes out, we have Renfield. It will be available on VOD. So this one is still in theaters right now, but you can watch this one on VOD again. So I don't know if any of you guys checked this one out. I haven't watched it yet because it's not playing in any theaters around where I live for some reason.
Oh, weird.
So, yeah, I know.
That is weird.
I know. Really weird. Next up, we have Ancestral. This will be available on Screenbox. And I'll just keep it simple and just say that this one offers a haunting twist on sleep paralysis. Oh, my God. I cannot talk. We'll just keep it simple. Okay. It offers a haunting twist on trauma. We'll leave it at that.
There you go.
Words.
Perfect.
And then on Friday the 5th, we have some really cool, interesting things coming our way. First up, we have The First Saturday in October, Part 1. This will be available on VOD. When a psycho goes on a murderous rampage after surviving a botched execution, only two survivors of his initial attack can stop him. Then guess what? If you loved Part 1, you're going to love Part 5. Because The First Saturday in October, Part 5, it just jumps to that, is going to be available on VOD as well. So in this one, a killer stalks and butchers occupants of houses across the stretch of a lone country road while they're preparing for a yearly college football game. So I'm curious to see how we go from 1 to 5.
I can tell you because I saw this at Chattanooga Film Festival. They recommend you watch Part 5 first and then you watch Part 1.
Oh.
Because I think I might have actually talked about this like a year ago. they're recreating the video store era of our youth where you go in and you rent whatever movie is available.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we watched, or at least for me, I don't want to speak for Xena. I just assume she probably was like me, where we're watching Friday the 13th Part 7 before we even get to the first one. So they are, they're not really all that connected. You could probably get away with watching the first one first, but they recommend going 5, then the first one.
That's actually what I've been doing with Hellraiser on HBO lately. I've just kind of been randomly pulling Hellraisers to watch.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, like that kind of reminds me. I remember you guys heard of the movies called Witchcraft, right? There's so many of them.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them always in video stores, and I can't even tell you which one I started with. So that's really awesome. Okay, so next up we have Death's Roulette. This will be available on Paramount Plus. So this one follows 7 strangers who wake up in a mansion in the middle of nowhere to discover they are a part of a twisted game. They have 60 minutes to choose one person to die. Otherwise, they all will be murdered. As the clock ticks down, the most lurked secrets will come to light, and they'll discover they are connected by a dark past. That's a bit extreme. Like, why do we all have to die, you know? Okay. All right, then on Monday the 8th, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this. So these are 2 of my favorite horror movies, and I know that Megan is a fan of this director as well. So Poison for the Fairies from 1986 and Darker Than Nine from 1975 will be available on Shudder. So
oh my
if you
gosh.
Love like it, they're just perfection. This is the same director that directed Even the Wind Would Be Afraid. Like, listen, just go watch these movies right now. It's
gothic
just
horror,
beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. If you love like gothic, like dark fairy tale types of movies, this one is for you. It's just, it's beautiful. Just, oh my God. We're so lucky. We're blessed.
This has been hard to find forever.
It has been. It really, really has been. So, yeah. Okay. And then on Tuesday the 9th, The Children of the Corn will be available on Blu-ray and DVD. So just in case if you want to own it, you'll be able to own it. Or someone's birthday's coming up, so you might want to send it to them. Someone's birthday who was born in May. And then... then we also have Daughter. It will be available on DVD. So yeah, this is basically about a woman who gets kidnapped by this bizarre family, and then they want her just to pretend that she's their daughter. And the things that she witnesses is just terrible. And also, just as a reminder, Evil Dead Rise is still in theaters. And as for right now, it made $86 million in the box office worldwide. And it's only been out for like 2 weeks. So this is awesome news. This is a win. So you know what a win means? It means more Evil Dead. Yeah.
Yay.
And then don't forget, Bloody Disgusting TV is available as well as Scream Box. Thank you and good night.
And that is a Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody. Just in case you want to buy it.